Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, church. As Abe mentioned that this coming weekend they're going to go to youth camp. So what I'd like us to do as a church is pray for them, especially Abe and Micaiah. They're going to need it. So if Micaiah would come up, and is there anybody here? I see Lonnie. If Lonnie would come, who else is going on that trip? I understand there's about 13 people that are going. 12 altogether.
They must all be resting up.
Oh
no. Just Lonnie? Just Lonnie. That's a representative. So if you guys will please stand with me so we can bless them as they go. They're gonna be leaving Wednesday. And they'll be back Saturday, I think. And so here we go. One more. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for Abe and Micaiah, Lord, and their leadership, Lord. We thank you for the hearts, Lord, that are extended to each one of the youth, Lord, that they see them as individuals, Lord. They see where they're at. And, Lord, I thank you that this time that they're away, Lord, that you are going to reveal yourself to them, Lord. We trust, Lord, that they will not come back any way less than where they are now, Lord, that they will be filled with your Spirit, Lord, that they will know more about you. Thank you, Lord, that their hearts are moldable, Lord, that you are molding them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for who they are. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing with them. And to all the youth, even those that are not here this moment, Lord, that wherever they are, that you would be touching their minds, Lord, that you would be touching their hearts, Lord, and prepare for what you have for them. You have great plans for them, Lord. So we thank you for that. And even as Linda, can you come here? Linda had another prayer area that she wanted to go on, and I'd like her to do that.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, as you know, last week, or still this week, we had a lot of graduates. Graduate from preschool to kindergarten, and then from the different various grades that they, you know, moved up in their position, but also junior high to high and high to college. And so we had a lot of students. And I had seen this video where this ex-witch had talked about how it was her assignment to curse children and to cause havoc in their lives. And she said that whenever she prayed for anybody, those that belonged to the Lord and had been prayed for, and you know, we can pray for all of these kids, whether you're a mother, father, aunt, uncle, grandparent, we can cover these kids with prayer. And so it's pretty amazing. She said those that were prayed for, she couldn't touch them. She couldn't curse them because she said there was a ring of fire around them. So isn't that amazing that our God protects our little ones? But you know what? It's so important that we pray for our children. And it doesn't matter if they're yours or not. This is our future. Little Ben, he graduated from preschool. And I tell you, it was a fun graduation. And then we had Evan, who graduated from high school, and he comes to our church. But there was a lot of people that we have to think about, is that they don't have somebody to cover them in prayer, but we can. And so it's so important that if you think about your relatives, but also your neighbors and your friends and all of the people that you're touched by, that we ask for the Lord to watch over them, to guide them, to walk in mighty boldness and in holiness and share with other students. And so it's so important that we take time to pray for our kids. And every day, because that protection has to be there daily. And I've got this prayer. Let me grab it real quick. So I can get that. Okay. So, Heavenly Father, we gather today to celebrate the accomplishments of students. We thank you for the gifts of knowledge, talent, and perseverance you have bestowed upon them. We are grateful for their dedication to their studies and their willingness to embrace new challenges. As they embark on the new chapter of their lives, we ask for your continued guidance and protection. May they find joy and purpose in their chosen paths, and may they always strive to use their talents for the good of others. Bless them with wisdom, courage, and compassion as they navigate the uncertainties of the future. We also thank you for the professors, teachers, mentors, and families who have nurtured and supported these students along the way. May their efforts be recognized and appreciated. May they continue to grow in wisdom, knowledge and wisdom, and may they be blessed with a life full of purpose, peace, and fulfillment. We ask this all in Jesus' name. So thank you for standing in prayer for our children, and continue daily because they need your heart for them. And then we're going to watch our future. They're going to be mighty men and women of God. Already Ben feels like he's a mighty man of God, and that's something that Pastor has instilled in him, and of course his parents. And so, you know, it's these children that are going to bring us into the faith stronger and stronger, and with just such passion. And so thank you to everyone who has somebody in their family that they can pray for. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. So as, like I said, as of Wednesday on through Saturday, if somewhere you feel a little urging in your heart to lift these kids up, 12 of them, Abe and Micaiah, by all means, just lift them up. God's doing something powerful this coming next few days. So please keep them lifted up. One more thing to pray about, and that is that this weekend is Memorial Day weekend, right? And if it wasn't for those men and women that went out and fought for us, that maybe not be here today, we wouldn't be able to be in this church praising with an open heart, praising with freedom. So I want to pray for those families that maybe lost someone. Maybe there's someone here that has. And so we want to lift up those people that somehow there's, even some of the maybe young people that are still out there, maybe they're not gone, but they're still away from family. These are the people, the sons and daughters that have made it possible for our freedom. So Father God, we thank you, Lord, for every person, Lord. Those that have gone to be with you, Lord, Lord, thank you for what they sacrificed, Lord, for the rest of us, Lord. I ask that you would bless the moms, the dads, the brothers, the sisters, and the friends, Lord, of those that that were lost, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your hand upon those that are out there now, Lord, all those other soldiers that are still there, Lord. Protect them, Lord. Hold them in your hands, Lord, and bring them back, Lord, so that we're not having to have a Memorial Day for them, Lord, that we're having a celebration for their return, Lord, wherever they are. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We love you.
You know that you have freedom in the name of Jesus. Woo! It's freedom from anything that you think could hold you down. See, that's the thing, is that... His yoke is easy and his burden is light. See, whatever you walked in with, don't let it be your problem. Just give it up this morning. See, because he's already taken care of every single thing that could ever even come up in your life. Every sickness, every bondage, everything that you feel that could be ailing you, bothering you, whatever it might be, just give it up. because he's already paid the price. He's already taken care of it. And now it's time to walk in it. See, you become so much more effective, even to the people around you, when you walk in what God's given you. When you don't just listen to promises, but you take hold of them and you step into them. See, I love this song. And I especially love this part we're gonna come into right now. Where, O death, is your sting? See, that's the thing. Jesus died on that cross, paid a price, defeated death for us so that it wouldn't be an issue for us anymore. But so often we take the Bible and we read these things and we're like, oh, that sounds really good and that's really awesome. But there's like a fear to step into what it is that he's telling us. See, we should be jumping in both feet, ready for what he's got. Because every little thing that we come up to is not to harm us, but is for good in our life. I think it's very fitting that Cesar is here, because a little over a year ago, he gave a word to my husband and I about that we were gonna be going through a hard time. And I remember when Oscar and I both heard it, us looking at each other afterwards and going, oh man, we were already going through a hard time and now you're telling us we're headed for more? But I can tell you that regardless of what's happened from the time he gave that word even to now, it's all been for our good. Even when it hurts, even when it's made us feel like we're being dragged through the mud, it's all been for good. It's been a building up, it's been a lifting, it's been all the things that we need to bring us into what he has next. See, that's exactly what God's doing in our lives every single moment, is building you up and bringing you to where what he has for you next. And it's us. It's us that sees it as a positive or a negative. But he tells us in his word that it's all for good. Not just some, not just little parts, not just moments, but all of it works together for good to those who love Christ, right? See, that's the thing. You can trust that when you let it go, it's already taken care of. You can trust that when you give that battle up and you allow him to fight it, he's got victory. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. You claim that freedom. You enjoy that freedom because he has given you above and beyond all you could ask or think. And he has made you more than a conqueror. So claim it this morning. If you got something that's got you feeling down, if you got something that's troubling you, let it go. And know that he's paid the price for everything, including death. He's defeated it all.
The Lord says, trust the Lord always. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is when you praise God in the storm. You trust him in the valley and you follow him in the dark. If God has been good to you, we all say amen. God wants us to follow him. We will not be afraid. He will always be by our sides. We are a new creation in the Lord. The people might laugh at us and call us names or whatever they do, but we should be appreciative of the Lord and walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Now I know there's somebody out there with a burning in your heart to bring a word, this is your time. Just lift up the Lord in whatever way he's showing you right now. Just take time, and if you're feeling that you're that person, come up here and share whatever God's given you this morning. Just as we sang that song, you think about how faithful God is. So sometimes we're not as faithful as we should be, but He is, right? He's always there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So know that if He's saying something to you now, speak it out.
Yesterday when we were driving in the car and this song came on, it was on Abe's playlist, but the title of the song was Holy Detox. And I don't know if it was a Christian song or not, but I don't even know what the words were, but the title kind of stuck with me. And I think now you see like detox everywhere, like you detox your liver, detox your immune system, a sugar detox, or even like a social media detox. Okay, it's everywhere. But when's the last time you've done like a spiritual detox? Take a look at like, what are you watching on TV? What are you reading? What are you scrolling and looking at on your phone? And even the people that like you're spending your time with. Sometimes we need to do a detox and get rid of those worldly things so we can put them aside and spend that time with God. Because it's very easy to let the world creep in. But when we put those things aside, dead things come alive in the name of Jesus, right? So, and it made me think of, because we're going to camp this week. When we come back from camp, like, the kids are on fire. And you know why? It's because they're detoxing from the world. They're spending 4 days and three nights praising God. We have a service every night. They're getting fed. They're spending time. They're pressing in. And when they come back, they're changed. Because they were detoxing from the worldly things. So just want to share that. And yeah, go do a spiritual detox.
I don't have a poem today, but these songs were just screaming out to me. Open your Bibles today at some point and read Psalm 107. It just shows you how when you call out to God, He does answer you. No matter what stage or season you're in your life, He will answer you.
Good morning. I didn't want to take the mic because I'm going to keep it for the rest of the service. So, but I won't do that, I promise. You know, I know. Rots are rock. Anyway, those songs, my sister that spoke about those songs screaming out at her. A lot of the lyrics and even some of the things that Miha was saying, going through the valley of bones and dead things come, you know, in the name of Yeshua, man, dead things do come alive. I believe in proof of that. But I want to tell you a real quick testimony that I want to try to inspire you and get you out of your comfort zone. And let's do whatever it takes to reach this city. And I'll tell you why. Because when you step out by faith and you speak the name of Yeshua, because so we ask God for so many things, and many of those things He never asked us to ask Him. This is the confidence I have that if I come to Him and ask whatever He wishes, He desires, He asked me to ask, I have the assurance that He will answer my prayer. Amen. But I have to know how to pray, what to ask for. We were in Romania, in the city of Tegernsee, and in the mornings we would get up and we would get our briefing, And then we'd go out for what we needed to do for that morning. And this particular morning, we were going to go out to the high schools and to the colleges and speak to the students. And as my interpreters came and they picked me up at the hotel, we were walking, it was walking distance to the center where we were all at, meeting that is, and we passed a bar. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning, and man, it was swinging. There was music, people were laughing, they were drinking, some of them were dancing by themselves, you know. And as I looked inside, one of them looked at me, he goes, "Come on in." And my interpreters, I said, "Did you see that?" He goes, "No." He says, "Romanians and gypsies, they don't get along too well." And he says, no. He says, "This is a gypsy bar. You don't want to go in." I says, "Okay. Well, sure, yeah." And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, "Talk to them. I have something to say." Now, see, if I would have gone in on my own, because I'm such a great guy. No. I was willing to keep walking until the Lord said, "I want you to talk to them." And I want to share this with you, because if you are tired of just coming to church and you say, "There's got to be more than just going to church and sitting there. And then I go through the week only for the next week." Let me tell you something. At some point, you got to get tired of the scripture story, and you got to be willing to step out and experience the scripture. I told Gabby, I told him, I said, "Hey, Gabriel, I got to go in, man. The Lord's telling me to go in." He goes, "Are you sure it's the Lord?" I said, "Ah, trust me. I know when it's the Lord." I walked in and they're all happy. And the one guy comes up to me, throws his arm around me, and he's got this big mug of beer. And he says, "Yeah, you know," he motioned for me. I said, "No, I said, I don't drink alcohol. "Ah, yeah, you know," and telling, you know, my interpreter, tell him to drink with me. You know, I could have. No big deal. But I was there on a mission. And so he got that mug. What's that? Remember those A&W big mugs of root beer back in the day? It was just like that. And he slams it on my chest, and he got me full of beer, and the interpreter says, "He wants you to drink." I said, "I will not be forced to anything that I want unless I hear the Lord." You tell him, I said, "I only obey the Lord." He does it again. More beer. I says, "But I have a message for you." And so he goes, gets his buddy, and they both get together with a mug. And I got on top of a chair. Remember, the music is blaring. People are talking. But when they saw me get on top of the chair, and then I got on top of a bench, one of those big, long wooden benches, I began to tell them about the love of Christ and the ability, and who was, I think, Michal, we were talking about everything that he's done for us. It's when I started to share, and the music stopped. It's not something I go around looking to do every day, okay? But when the Lord speaks, I will obey. And so the encouragement for you this morning, obey when he talks to you. Obey him. You just never know what might happen. And that morning, those two guys, eventually nobody, I prayed a prayer. No one seemed to respond. And so at the end of the week, on Friday, we met at a civic center, I guess you call it. In fact, that's the same one where you preached, hon. You taught that on intercession. And in that place was those two guys that I had met 3 days prior at that bar. Nothing but dead. But dead things, listen, will come alive in the name of Yeshua. And so let me tell you something. That was a lousy week for me. I was hurting. I had body aches. I was angry because things didn't turn out the way I think they should have at an earlier meeting. I wasn't mad. I was disturbed. And I had a lousy. I was going through the valley of dry bones. And you know what I found out when I read that up there? The reason you go through dry bones, it's not so that you be whining and complaining and tell the Lord, what a lousy situation I'm in. The reason he calls you to go through dry bones is because you're on a mandate. He takes you through the valley that you can speak like the prophet, a word of God, and get them saved and bring them up to the mountaintop. That's why you go. Listen, instead of complaining about your dry bone valley experience, you ask the Lord, what is my assignment during this season in my life? What is my assignment? What am I supposed to get out of this lousy season that I'm going through? I don't even hear your voice. I promise you, try it. Watch the word of God come alive. It's no longer a story sitting in your rocker. Oh, I love this story. Get out of that rocker, man, and experience the stories you're reading in the Bible. And watch him see that when you go through your valleys of dry bones, he will speak to you and he will cause you to grab somebody by the hand that is going through a worse season than you are, and you bring them to the mountaintop because you explain to them the love of Yeshua. Ryan, that's my testimony. Those two guys, one of them prayed. In fact, Paul Grimes, who spearheaded that mission trip, he got a chance to pray with one of them. And from being dead, in the name of Yeshua, he became alive. And he served the Lord for years after that I know of. Get out of your seat. Get out of your comfort zone. Be willing to take a risk and see what the Lord will do because you simply obeyed. Yeah. You have an anointing in your life. But anyway, Father, we give you honor and glory for what you're about to do with these people at show. So we need the house of worship. Father, that they will step out. Because some of you have cried out to God and others, you just go through the motions. Stop it. Did I say that? Stop it. Join in those that are crying out to God for a move of the Spirit that will touch this city and the other communities beyond this. Be a participator of the things of what God is doing. Come on, man. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out there. Whenever you go to the grocery store, hey, can I tell you about, hey, the Lord's giving me a word for you. Oh, hey, I want to share something with you. And before you know it, people are getting touched because of your obedience. But I'm afraid it's not about you. It's not about us. It's about Him. And about people. In Yeshua's name, amen.
So, I feel like it's kind of been a while since I've been up here, but when he was telling the story about the bar, it made me think of when we went to camp, our pastor told us that there's this one time where he was driving in his car and he heard this voice saying, he passed by this bar and same thing. It was it was completely full. There was people lining outside the door. And he said that he heard God as loud as possible say, go to that bar and pray for everybody there. And he thought in his head, he's like, I'm not going. That's not God. That's not him. So he continued driving. He got home and he walked in the door slowly and he said, he didn't want to see his sister, but then his sister was standing right there and she noticed that he was kind of nervous and she was like, what's going on? And he said, God told me to go to a bar and go pray for everybody. And she looks at him and goes, then what are you doing standing here? Go to that bar. So he's like, man, this is why I didn't want to come see you. So then he walks over. And he goes and drives back to that bar. He goes over there and he starts praying. he said that same thing. Music stops. They all stand up to him. And everybody in that bar, he prayed for everybody in that bar, and everybody in that bar that night got saved. Everybody in that bar got saved. And that's what, this story is always one that stays in my head that he tells me, or told me, because it's crazy what can happen when you listen to God. If he's telling you something, then go for it. Don't just be like, oh, well, I'll do it later when it's convenient for me. He's telling you right there, right like then, for a reason. My friend, so most of you guys know Abby. Abby, before I invited her to church, we both kind of went through rough things. Abby had kind of a rough past. But when I brought her to church, the first time we brought her to church, it was for one of our youth ministry parties for like Christmas, I think. And she came, and it was pretty much just games, but we had a little bit of like scripture. And Abby, just from that moment, went, I really like this church. This church is fun. And so then she started coming to church. She started going to conventions. She started going to camps. And then that same pastor told me and Abby, he called us up on stage at camp and told us, you two together will be ministers and you guys will change people's lives. We went to a convention after that. It's called One Day, and it's about starting a Youth Alive club in our schools. Me and Abby were so on fire to start this club. That night, we emailed the principal telling her about it, telling her how we want to start this Youth Alive club in our school. We were all set and everything, and then it got kind of rough and it got separated. But then I was praying about it, and I was praying about it because I had people asking me, I had a lot of people in the church asking me about it because I came up here and told them about it. And they're asking me, what's going on with your Youth Alive club? And I was like, well, it's kind of in a spot where we don't know if we're gonna continue it. But then Abby comes up to me one of the days that I like felt like God like had really, like really touched me. And she comes up to me and goes, so how are we doing with the Youth Alive club? And I was like, well, we have it okayed and we can do it, but there's not really people that seem like they want to do it. She goes, well, I have this, she shows me a paper. She's like, I have this whole list of names that said that they'd love to join our Youth Alive club when it opens. And that's the thing, is that she's coming to convention with us. And now Abby, before, it's crazy. I would pray for her and I tell her, please come to church, please come to church. Like, I really want you to come to church. I feel like God has so much for you. And when she came to church, she told me the other day, she thanked me. She's like, thank you for bringing me to church, because now I'm so much closer to God and my life has been amazing. Just because God told me to invite one friend, she's touching everybody's spirit in our schools. And I've seen her pray for random people at stores. And she's just like, she's on fire. And that's why, if God is telling you to pray for somebody, if God is telling you to go reach for something, do it, because he's telling you for a reason. And don't deny it. That's why he has it there for you.
Hallelujah. How many of you love to stand in his presence? How many of you love to hear his voice? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love it. I had to get out from behind that guitar because it's not letting me move enough. Can you say amen? I'm connected to a wire. Hallelujah. So I can't move. Hallelujah. But this morning I wanted to bust out. Can you say amen? Does anybody want to bust out? Tessa, do you want to bust out? Come on, man. Come on, man. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God, and you're a mighty people in the earth. Do you know that? You know, I got something that God's been on my heart. I marked it 2 days ago, and I said, and I loved reading it. But then this morning, the Lord said, you got your marker on that, give it to them. I said, all right, I'm good. And it's about what we're going to talk about today. But this is what Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 says. For you, look at your neighbor, say you.
You.
You. You are a holy people.
Amen.
Under the Lord your God. You're a holy people under the Lord. The Lord thy God has chosen you. Oh. Oh, you gotta get to them, right? He's chosen you. You for this time, this hour. He's chosen you. He's chosen you to be a special people. Everybody say special. Look at your neighbor and say, boy, you're special. You're special, all right. Come on, Sessa. Hey, brother, you are special, bro. You're special. There's none like you. There's never be anyone like you. Come on, man. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The same with all of you. There'll never be, never, never, ever be another one like you.
Amen.
This world is only going to see one of you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But I got news for you. I got news for you. This world has only seen one Jesus. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
But I'll tell you what, you are the body of Christ in the earth. God is looking to see and to use you in this earth as his ambassador, if you will. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. You're a special people.
Amen.
A friend of mine used to drive a Buick Special. I said, what's so special about it? I don't know. What's so special about us? We are different, folks. We are not of this world. We are of that world that God has said is going to become this world. Can you say amen to that? There is none like us. Never will be. Never has been and never will be again. Hallelujah. We are the body of Christ. You're special. And here's what he says. God has chosen you to be a special people to himself. And then he says this, above all the people. Above all. That might sound a little prideful. Oh, we're above you. Is that right? No, but God has chosen us to be above. Can you say amen to that?
Hallelujah.
I think Jason said it this morning. We're a royal bunch. Is that right, Jason? We are a royal bunch. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, how many of you are ready to hear God's word?
Yeah.
I hope you're ready to hear God's word. How many are looking for something in God's word? How many enjoy the music? I mean, I love worshiping. I love worshiping God. But sometimes, I mean, I'm not going to say sometimes. God says that God has decided. He has made a decision that by the foolishness of preaching. Is that right? Come on, man. He's going to save the unbelievers by the foolishness of preaching. Oh, we can't get any more foolish than what I do it. Can you say amen to that? That's foolish. It sounds foolish, but I'm going to tell you there's reality in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? Sometimes things don't sound right because we're too accustomed to listening the way the world does things. But the kingdom, folks, does things in a whole different fashion.
Amen.
It is not the way of the world. That's the way of the world. Do you remember that song? You don't remember that? Well, I don't sing it right. Hey, we are of the kingdom. And the way of the kingdom is what Jesus said, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're moving. We're moving into that time. How many are glad to see what's going on? I'm happy to see what's going on in the earth. Because I believe God has outposts of spirit-filled believers all around this world. And there we're getting ready to see what God said. Moses told God, he goes, hey, you guys can sit down. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Thank you, singers. Thank you, Miha. Hey, Moses told God, you know what? No, God told Moses, he says, you know what? Get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to wipe this bunch out. They made a golden calf. Is that right? Where God had already told them, you shall have no other gods before me. They made a golden calf because they thought they needed a god. So God told Moses, get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to wipe them out. Can you say amen? But Moses said, God, what will they say? What will those back in Egypt say, that you brought them out here to destroy them? See, what those people needed was an intercessor. Is that right? Someone to stand before God and say, hey, man. Oh, come on, God. But what I like, what he said, he says, my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You see, folks, there are outposts of spirit-filled believers that are walking with the Lord. Can you say amen to that? I mean, walking hand in hand, listening to the voice of the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We are in a time, folks, that we don't need to be going after. I mean, we just don't need to be going after things that are contrary to the kingdom of God. We need to go after the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Ooh, man. I'm going to get to my message, maybe. We're not sure. Hallelujah. I like the stories of the kings. How many like the kings? I mean, Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. I love them. I love those stories. Do you know why? Because you can look in there and you can see the do's and don'ts of the kingdom. Can you say amen? Amen. There are ways to operate as a king. And there are ways not to operate as a king. Can you say amen? How many of you know that we have been made kings and priests by God? Why is it? Why is that? Why would he call you kings and priests? Because the king dwells in you. And he's also the priest. Can you say amen to that? The title of today's sermon is called, Who Am I? Look at your neighbor and ask, Who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? You know, it's really, you know, I grew up thinking I knew everything that I needed. I grew up thinking that, you know, if I just do this, that, and the other, I'll be good. And I end up drinking most of my 20s away, which was not very smart. It's funny they talk about walking in a bar today. I would fast and I'd pray. I'd ask the Lord, because I don't know how many of you guys believe in fasting. I believe in it. I believe that God really does. There's a clarity that comes into your spirit, where God can speak something clear. And I love fasting and praying. Yeah. Is it? Fasting, like it says in Isaiah 58, is not to point the finger at people. Is that right? I really believe fasting and praying happens so that you can understand and know what to do for people. Can you say amen to that? Because folks, we have to admit that we are on this earth so that we might touch others. Is that okay? You're here to touch folks, to bring them to the knowledge of who God is, to help them to understand. Well, in the fast, I was fasting, and I hadn't heard from the Lord. I would fast on Monday, and then I would fast on Thursday, because I wanted a message to give to the young people in my church. So I said, Lord, I need, and God would always, by Thursday, he'd always generally give me something, and I was, yeah, come on, this is what I needed. And so this one particular week, Monday, I'd fasted,
Didn't hear a thing. So, Lord, you got, what do you got, Lord? What do you got? Tuesday, Wednesday, didn't hear anything. Say, God was in Wednesday night service. I'm asking the Lord. Most of the service, I'm saying, Lord, what do you want me to preach on Sunday? What do you want? What is it that you want me to say? Nada. He didn't give me anything. How many of you ever felt like God sometimes has just dropped you off and left you alone? Sometimes, I mean, and this time I go, God, did I do something? What did I do wrong? I don't remember doing anything wrong. But we had at the church I was going to, we had a Saturday night prayer meeting. So I went on Saturday night and I'm, Lord, tomorrow's Sunday. So, you know what tomorrow is, Lord? Tomorrow's Sunday. Lord, what do you want? I had already started making up my mind. If he doesn't say anything, I'm just not going to say anything. We'll just take the kids to the Dairy Queen. Is that okay? Woo! Yeah. So as I get in my car and I'm driving home, the Lord says something to me. He says, go get an empty bottle of beer. A what? A what, God? He says, go get an empty bottle of beer. And so I was at this, by this time I'm at the stoplight. The closest place was this place. So I pulled in, I parked, and the bar is going. And it's called the Wet Spot. Does anybody remember the Wet Spot here? Yeah. What are these two over here? Put your hand down. Put it down. The bar was called the Wet Spot. And I walked up to the bar. And one of the young ladies behind the bar had been to my youth group. She didn't keep going, but she was a friend of one of the girls in my youth group. So she had brought her, and she goes down the bar, she goes, Henry, what are you doing in here? I said, I came for an empty bottle of beer. A what? An empty bottle of beer. She goes, okay. So she brings me a Bud Light. I mean, I picked up 6 cans of Bud Light over in the corner over here this morning. I said, they were having a party, I guess, but they left all their beer cans. She brought me a Bud Light bottle, and I looked at it, and I go, no, this isn't right. Can you give me a tall Budweiser bottle? That's what I used to drink. Man, that's how I liked them. I liked them ice cold with the water dribbling down the side, you better not be thirsting for a beer right now. But that's what I asked for. And she goes, oh, let me go look. So she goes back in the back. She goes, no, there ain't none. I can't find any. I said, oh, man. I was just getting ready to grab that light bottle. She goes, but you might find them out front there. They had put their boxes out in front here on the side, under the porch. That's where the guys would pick them up. So I said, oh, okay, great. She goes, there's probably one in there. So I go out there, and I'm digging around these boxes. And these guys are coming in. They go, bro, you want a beer? We'll buy it for you. I said, hey, man. Shut up. No, thanks. I found my bottle of beer. And I took it home. And Rosie goes, where have you been? I walk in with this bottle of beer in my hand. She goes, where have you been? I go, I was out looking for an empty bottle of beer. Did you empty that? No, I didn't empty it. I found it at the Wet Spot. Well, the next morning, I didn't know, you know, the Lord had just told me, just go get your bottle of beer. And the next morning, Pastor gives me a call. He says, Henry, I'm not feeling good this morning. He goes, what are you doing for the youth tonight? I go, well, I kind of think it's like a testimony because, I mean, he hasn't really answered me in my past, but he told me to go get an empty bottle of beer. He goes, well, whatever. He goes, go ahead. Can you do the Sunday morning service? I said, sure. So I take the Sunday morning service. I take this bottle. It's in a bag. And I start giving my testimony. And while I'm talking about how I used to drink and how I could not get away. Do you know, can I tell you that sometimes when you are, I say I was an alcoholic because I couldn't get away from it. It had a hook in me that wouldn't let go. I would promise Rosie I was gonna wasn't gonna drink anymore, and I'd promise her that I was gonna quit, and those promises never came true. I didn't have the power to release myself. You see, I was a servant to the king of beers. And that's when I pulled out this bottle of beer. Empty bottle of beer, by the way. I pulled it out, and people go, huh? What? You know, and I said, see, I was a servant to the king of beers. But then the king of kings came into my life, and I laid that beer bottle on, and I gave it an altar, and two guys came up, and we prayed, and one of them received the Lord, and the other one says, I'm going to quit drinking. I said, you can't do it on your own, bro. You got to let God do it. You got to allow him to take you through. Whoo, hallelujah. I mean, you know, maybe I thank God for AA, but you know what? They don't have the power. They haven't been given the power to release men and women from things like that. Can you say amen to that? Who are you? Who are you? We're going to go. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. We'll quickly go through these things. I'm going to let you go quick. How many say amen? Yeah, I heard that, Tommy. Come on, bro. Amen. Let us go. Yeah, come on. Here he goes. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? This is Samuel. He's anointing Saul. The people wanted a king, and they kept asking for a king, and God showed Samuel who his choice was. And Samuel took that vial of oil and kissed Saul on the head. And he said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be the captain over his inheritance? Do you see that word captain? That word captain, in the Hebrew, that word captain is nagid. Nagid. It's an anointed as a ruler and a prince. He anointed Saul. But how many of you know Saul kind of messed up? How many of you know that Saul kind of did his own thing? Is that right? Come on, folks. He did his own thing. He didn't. He even though the prophet told him, do this, do that, Saul did what he wanted to do. Can I tell you there's a danger in doing what you want to do? There's a danger in making your own way. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm saved. See, God will take care of me. Yeah, he'll take care of you. But he wants to lead you and he wants to guide you. Can you say amen to that? He desires that you walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And sometimes it takes a while for us to learn that. Can you say amen? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Let's look at this. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Saul had made some mistakes, and Saul said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from him and give it to somebody else. So Samuel is mourning for Saul. And the Lord asked him this, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a what? Everybody say king. I provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? isn't it funny when God tells you to do something? If it might be a little dangerous for you, say, well, Lord, I want to hear that again. But he goes, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on his the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For a man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Isn't that good? How does he look? How does he see? What does God look for? He looks for the heart. He looks to see what's on the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, by this time, Samuel's going, wow, I didn't know you had so many boys. But again, Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, here are all your children. And he said, well, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. I like what God said to Samuel, and I think, can you go right to the beginning of those last few verses? Right to the beginning of that I asked you for, Terry. Back up, all the way to the, I guess it's verse 1 through 13. Says this, fill your horn with oil. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me, says, a king. Is that okay? Is that? You see, Saul was a captain anointed, but David found Jesse, and he says, I have provided for me a king. That word for king is Melech. Look at your neighbor and say, Melech. Don't forget Melech. Don't forget that. Put a little Melech in your cereal. Melech. Listen, it means a royal king. How many of you know that David was chosen by God even before Saul? Can you say amen to that? I know how God is. God knows the end from the beginning. David was a special one, chosen before Saul. I believe God had to show them the road a little bit about them asking for, they asked for, we want a king. Why? Because we want to be like all the other ones, all the other nations. We want to be a king. We want us a king. So I believe he let them have Saul so that they could see them what a king should not be. Is that right? Is that okay? That's why I tell you, I love the Old Testament and all these books of kings, and you know, because they show you how one should be and how another one shouldn't be in this kingdom. And David, God had him hidden. But he says, I have provided me not just a king, but a royal king. A royal king. One that he chose. Can you say amen to that? And now let's go to Samuel chapter 18, verses 12 through 18. David and Saul are not getting along. Have you say amen to that? Because David's doing everything right, and Saul knows that he's in trouble. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. Can I just tell you, sometimes people are going to move away from you. They're not going to be around you. Is that right? Sometimes they push away from you and say, hey, we don't want to call you no more. We won't talk to you. They don't want to be close to you anymore. Why? Because there's something about who you are that gives them an uneasy feeling. Can you say amen to that? And it's not you. It's not you. It's the spirit that dwells in you. And Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000 and went out. And he went out and came in before people. And David behaved himself wisely in all the ways. And the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, behold, my older daughter, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give to you for wife, to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. I will tell you, David was already doing that. And Saul said, just be valiant for me. For Saul said, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said to Saul, who am I? This is the title of our message today. Who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? I don't know if David really realized who he was, but he was a royal king. He was anointed to be king. And like a lot of times when God has something for you to do, sometimes it just doesn't fit you. Can you say, you might say, well, that don't fit me. Is that okay? Because he's got something that you that's wild, out of your wildest dreams, that he's got prepared for you. You know, the word of God says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. How many love God? See, he's got more for you than you can imagine. He's got more. And you might think, well, I'm 70 years old.
So?
God would say, so what? Well, I'm 86. So what? Eye has not seen anything. If you love God, guess what? He's always got something more for you. Can you say amen to that? Can I just say that you're not at a stopping place for all he wants for you? You need to know that right now, that he's got more for you. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And sometimes, hey, it's not more money. It's more of him. The more of him. How many of you want more of God? I will tell you, when you begin to pick up more of him, the things that you need, oh, you got to hear, listen to me. Need, that word, look at your friend and say need, need, need. I need, I need, I need. What do you need? What do you need? The scriptures tells us that he gives us everything. Can you say, you don't need a thing. It is the need. If you think you need something, I will tell you something. You're not looking God correct. You're not looking at God correctly. If you feel like you need something, let me just say this, because God says, I've already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. What do you need? Well, God, I need more of you. Well, okay, well, that's a good need. Is that right? Good need. How many of you want more of God? Woo! I love the word of God. I love, but you know, sometimes I can read it and it doesn't do anything for me. Is that, how's me feel? Anybody ever done that? I'm reading, I go, God, it's not doing nothing. God, what is it? What do you want from me? God, I love you. I need you. I want to hear from you, God. Don't hear nothing. I will tell you, I'm not the type to walk away, toss it off to the side and walk away. I'm addicted to the word of God. I'm addicted.
Yes.
I'm addicted.
Yes.
I don't want to be distracted from this.
Right,
man. My attention is in the Word.
Man.
My attention, my is what I is you know, I'm not, I don't go to him to see. To ask for money. I don't go to him to ask for health, because he's already provided that for me. He's already provided health. He's already provided life for me. What I want to know, God, what do you want me to do? I never said I wanted to be a pastor. Can you say amen to that? Youth pastoring was enough. When I was a youth pastor, I had enough youth pastors. Abe, you're doing well. You're doing wonderful, brother Abe. And yeah, but I'll tell you, when I had the youth, I had enough. When I stopped, I said, I'm so glad that's over. Let us minister to the ministers. Let us be helpers in the church someplace. God says, hey, I got something for you to do. I want you to pastor a church. Are you kidding me? No. See, Rosie was telling me, God wants you to pastor a church. Or we got something more. God has more for us. What's that? I think he wants us to pastor a church. You shut up. I don't want to pastor a church. But I had told God that I will do anything for you, God. I will do it. Whatever you want me to do. And I was at another church. We had left First Assembly, and we were in Tucson going to, and the pastor stood up and said, Henry, you and Rosie, stand up. I've got a word for you. He says, you're not a miner. I was working at the mines. He says, you're a pastor, and God can't bless what you're pretending to be. Hey, I wasn't pretending to be a miner. I was a miner. But I didn't want to be a pastor. Can I just say that God has changed my heart? My heart is that I might speak truth to those that would hear it. That's my heart. I can't change hearts. I can't heal the bodies. But I know that the Word of God does. It does it on its own. I know that God draws people by His Spirit. And that if I will obey Him and listen for Him, that I'll see the good of the land. Can you say amen to that? I'll see the goodness of God in there. Can I tell you, if you look out, the Bible says this, that the earth is filled with the goodness of God. It's all over. Yes. Where? You gotta not use your eyes. You gotta allow God to show it to you. The earth is filled with it. The goodness of the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. He says, who am I? And this is what I said to the Lord. I said, who am I, Lord, that you want me to pastor? Are you kidding me? I don't know how. That was my biggest thing. I got no idea. I don't know how to do that. So I called up Cesar. I said, Cesar, how do you do that? You know what's good about Cesar? He's like Pastor John tells you. You know what we do? We're like pointers. You got to go to God. Point you to God, man. If God wants you to pastor, you better find out what God wants from you. That's what Cesar told me, man. Same with the pastor in Tucson. He goes, man, I don't know. All I know is what he told me to tell you. He said, thanks a lot, bro. Yeah, whatever. Folks, I'm going to say that David was a royal king. God said that about, not David. God said it about him. I have provided myself a king, a royal king. Folks, do you know how royal you are in his choice for you? His choice for you. You are royal above the highest order in the earth. There's only one order that we got to deal with. It's God's order. And you are chosen a king. Is that okay? Of the highest order. You aren't just somebody that reads your Bible. No, you're a king. When God has filled your heart with his love, you've been born again? Yeah, come on, man. Woo. The highest order. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 through 6 says this. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and gave and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's made you a king and a priest. But like Cesar said earlier, it's not about you. Because you died. You died at the cross 2,000 years ago when you gave your heart to the Lord. And God, by His Spirit, came and dwells in you. Can you say amen? And now you are a king and a priest, not because of you, but because of who it is that's within you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says this. And He has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Come on. Where's Jesus sitting right now? The right hand of the Father. Is that right? Jesus said this, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Can you say amen to that? See, there is no separation between us and Christ. Christ dwells in you. And He's seated at the seat of the Father. When you read about Nicodemus, Nicodemus said, how can these things be, Lord? How can they be? And Jesus said, we only speak what we know. You've got to know that Jesus has lifted you up to sit at the right hand of the Father. Can you say amen? That's your position. It's a royal position. You might think you're down here on the earth, but I will tell you, there is no separation of time or distance in this kingdom. There's no separation. I was raised in a church. For some reason, I thought there was kind of a separation that, well, when Jesus comes back, everything will be taken care of. Is that right? So there's a time element that created a distance that when He comes from where He's at, where's He from? Oh, I don't know. He's in heaven somewhere. Yeah, what's He doing? I don't know. But there is no separation of time or distance in this kingdom. Jesus is here right now. You are the kingdom. You are in the kingdom if you've given your heart to the Lord and you've been born again. Can you say amen to that? If you've been born by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. This is our key verse today. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What? Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Folks, this is the highest calling. It really is. It's a royal calling. And if there's anything that God has been talking to me about, He says, prepare them, prepare them, prepare them. Speak to them, Henry. Speak to them. What I give you, speak it. They don't like it, speak it. If they love it, speak it. In other words, whatever I give you to speak, speak. Can you say amen to that? I'm going to tell you something. God is saying it's time that the body of Christ grow up. We need to be grown in the things of God. We have, for years, we have been captured by something in the past that maybe it's the way we did church, maybe it's the way we did the way we looked at God. But God is saying, I have created a new thing, and you need to walk with me in it. And it continues to grow in the earth. Can you say amen to that? I will tell you that God gave earth to man, not heaven. Earth belongs to man. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And He gave it to Adam. Can you say, let me tell you why. Because we are earth. Is that right? Our mortal body is earth. Huh. He gave it to us. So He says, look, it is not in my heart to pull you off the earth. Can you say amen to that? How many say amen? I've said, Lord, why would you give so much wisdom and understanding to a man? And then when he gets 80 years old, 90 years old, right when his grandchildren need something, right when they need a word, right? Why would you cut him short and bring him, take him up to heaven? Why would you do that, God? Why would you do that? He said, it's never been my intent to be that way. It's never been that way. He told Adam in the garden, the day you eat of that tree, you'll die. We have been given life and life eternal. We are in eternal life right now. Right now. Death has been, that's why I love that song we sang earlier. Death has been defeated. It really has. It is a no issue with you. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be an issue with you. There shouldn't be something in the back of your head, well, one of these days I'm going to die. That is not the kingdom. God said, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many people are dying right now in the kingdom? Tell me.
None.
Says how many people are dying in the kingdom?
Die everything to self.
That's right. That's the only, you got to realize you died on the cross. Is that right, brother? We got to realize that. See, death, the Bible says it's given unto man once to die. One time. And where is it at? You died to yourself when you gave Jesus your life. See, this is a different kingdom. This is a different way of thinking. See, we don't think the way the world thinks. We shouldn't be thinking the way the world thinks. One of the things that really troubles me sometimes is that people will say things, well, when I die, I'm going to give my kids everything. You know, whatever. Shut up. You're in life. And you've got more abundant life than you need if you'll believe him for it. See, the thing is, a lot of times we just don't believe God. We need to act like children of God. We need to act like royalty. Is that right? Somebody messes around with you, and you tell them something, and you hurt their feelings. Is that right? And you go, and you see you've hurt their feelings. And so you go, hey, come here. I'm sorry I hurt you. How many of you know everybody wants forgiveness? I mean, does everybody know that? You should. I mean, I'm not everybody knows. But you know, let me just say this to you. Sometimes we hurt somebody's feelings, and we go to them, we know it, so we go to them and say, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? you might like this, you might not like this. But can I tell you, sometimes that's so self-serving. Do you know what I mean? It's self-serving because you want to be forgiven. I want to be forgiven. But then they don't forgive you. So what happens? Your forgiveness turns into anger. Oh, well, they don't want to. I told them I was sorry, and now they don't want to. Now they don't want to give me forgiveness. They don't want to forgive me. You know what? The whole thing was all about you. Is that right? The Word of God says that we are a royal priesthood. If you hurt somebody, if somebody hurts you, you forgive them. You forgive them. Why? Because the Holy Ghost pours the love of God into your heart. The love of God. See, you died to yourself. Nothing of yourself should be less. Is that right? Nothing should be left. But oh, come on. We think, well, that's just me. That's just the way I believe. Well, God is saying, look, I have got something that will tell you about who I am and what my kingdom looks like and how it operates. Folks, we got to be a forgiving bunch. We have to. We've got to be a loving bunch. Can you say amen to that? It kind of bothers folks, man, when they know you should be hurt and you go, man, I love you, bro. They don't like that. Is that right? You go, you know, they hurt you on purpose, and you go, man, it's okay, bro. I love you. You're a good man. All right? You're prophesying to them. Is that right? Prophesying, man, speaking, you're a good man. Why? Because if you receive Jesus, you will be a good man. Can you say amen? We have to present the kingdom. And like we all know, it's not just by words. It's by walking into a bar and loving on guys that throw beer on you. I was in Walmart parking lot. I was walking, and I don't know if you guys remember James. James used to hang in here a little bit, and he comes running across, and he's homeless, but he'd always have a beer. I said, man, why don't you buy some food rather than, oh, this is given to me, Pastor. I said, whatever. But I was in Walmart, and I hear this, Pastor. And I turned around. The recessor reminded me of it. And he comes running up to me, and he hugs me. He's got a beer in his hand, and he throws beer all over me. And I remember that. When it says, I got a story just like that. You see, people, they're attracted to love. Can you say amen to that? They might act like they're not, but they love it. They might put on a false faith, but they love it. But we have to. God is saying, I have saved you for a purpose, and this purpose is that you might present the kingdom of God in a way that's powerful on the earth. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. This is not a position of privilege. Can I say, you know, it's a privilege to be a king's son, isn't it? What a privilege. But it's not a position of privilege. It is, listen to me. If you're going to hear anything, this thing that God brings is not a position of privilege. It's a position of responsibility. God desires that you respond to who he is in you. You have a response. How good is your responsibility? Do you do things that you want to do? Is it you driving? Is it your self-will driving you? Or is it the Spirit of God? I will tell you, if you just slow down, sit down, and wait on God, and ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? He'll take you where he wants you to go. He'll show you what he wants to do. But sometimes we feel like a good Christian has to be doing something. And God's not, what if God's not ordering it? Then this is what Saul got in trouble for, folks. Saul got in trouble for doing his own thing. And not what God wanted. Isn't that crazy? God's saying, hey, man, it's time to grow up. Time to have a responsibility in your life. A responsibility to who God is. Romans 8:1. Hallelujah. I hear so many people quoting this. It's a great scripture. It is. It really is. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now, right? Now. Right now, right? No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Beautiful verse, amen? But a lot of people don't finish the rest of it. A lot of people don't say the rest of it. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Yes. You say, can you tell there's a qualifier in that scripture? It qualifies what he's talking about. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, when I looked into that, God said, man, knock on their heart's doors with that one, Henry. There is a qualifier that you walk. You know what? Terry, bring me up the rest of these, at least down to verse 5 or 6. Listen to this. Listen to how this works. Listen to what he's saying. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life, right, in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Is that right?
Yes.
Folks, we're still under a law. A lot of people, God has delivered me from the law. Well, no, he's brought you into a new law. And it's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Is that right? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, what could it not do? It couldn't make you perfect. In that it was weak through the what? The flesh. This is why he don't want you working with your flesh. God sending his own son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not, what? After the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, this qualifier keeps showing up. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So which one do you want? What do you want? Do you want death or do you want life and peace? It's a no-brainer, is that right? You have to put that old man to death. You have to allow him to die. Quit resurrecting the old boy. He stinks anyway. Quit it. Stop doing that. It says, after the things of the Spirit. Are you after the things of the Spirit? Are you after them? What does he mean by that? Are you going after what God wants for you? Because by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 16, verse 13 says this. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, who is he? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Do you see what he's saying right here? It is the Spirit. So if you're after the things of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Isn't that cool? He'll show it to you. But you got to be after the things of the Spirit. He will bring truth to your heart. I don't know how many people have pushed back on some of the things I've said about, and I don't care. It's okay, push back. But my biggest answer to them, you don't believe in whatever it is, look at it. Don't believe me. Look at it. Go after it. Ask God about it. See what he shows you. Because God will show you things. He'll show you things if you ask. You see, when you ask, you're after the Spirit. You're going after his things. Can you say amen? Can you say amen to that? But I kind of chuckle because when God shows me some things, I say, oh, come on, God, they're never going to believe this. Come on, man. Speak it to them. Speak it to them. Don't let your mind disconnect from the things of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is life and peace forever. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The word of God says in Romans 8:37 that we are more than conquerors. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 says that we are complete in him. And John chapter 1 John chapter 4 verse 17 says this, as he is,
so are we.
So are we in this world.
Amen.
Now you can qualify a lot of things in there. You can try to qualify a lot of things, but the scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. Is that right? That's what it says. Can I tell you, as he is he headed to another death? No. Is he holding grudges against people? No. As he is, so are we in this world. It's time to look at the Word of God. Folks, I can do nothing but speak what God tells me to speak. I am not your teacher. Don't ever call me a teacher. The Holy Ghost is your teacher. You need let no man teach you. But you have to weigh the thing. You, on your own, you need to go after the Spirit of God. You need to go after God. You need to look in the Word of God. And he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will position your feet so nobody can knock it out from under you. Can you say amen to that? Because he's got great things for you. Your position and your place in this earth could be a lot of different things. I could be talking to doctors and nurses and all these other things that are in there. But God wants to do it his way, not the way of the world. Can you say amen to that? God wants to expose his kingdom on this earth so that this glory that he's set within us will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Who are you? You're royalty in the house of God. You are called. You are washed. And God has things for you. Can you say amen to that? God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's not messing with you. He loves you. Can you say amen? Can you stand? Can you stand? Hallelujah. Oh, God. You see, there's a thing that God says, you know what? In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3, he says something that goes like this. He's talking about people that he's a little upset at them because they do not hold truth at its position. How many know we have to go by truth? How many know that? Amen. You got to go by truth. The Bible says that God says, I want my people to be valiant about the truth. About truth. Why does he want you to be so valiant about the truth? Because Jesus says it this way, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. Truth has to be spoken. Folks, we are not in a world we are not in a kingdom of your opinion. Can you say amen to that? Opinions don't matter to God. I don't have an opinion. I have what God's given me. You see, because I died at the cross. And what he's given me is what he's given for whoever who will listen to me. Maybe nobody wants to listen. I don't care. It's okay. Maybe the doors will close up. And I say, well, Lord, nobody wants to listen. What do you want me to do now? No. What do you think? I don't have an opinion. I'm not allowed an opinion. Opinions. This is God's opinion. Can you say amen to that? This is his opinion. And we have to hold to the words of the word because the world needs it. And we're called to touch the world with the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? This kingdom is coming. It's about to happen. We're going to see things move in ways that we've never believed. But you got to believe it. You got to move out there. You got to, just like Pastor Cesar said, hey, you got to be out. You got to go move. Speak. Don't be afraid to speak. That's why we use a mic here, so that you might speak to us. It makes it easy. Because we all, oh, yeah, praise God. Get out there and speak. And, man, there. Sometimes I go, you know what? Hey, get out of here, man. Get out of here. That's okay. But at least you're speaking. Can you say amen to that? And God will bless your what he has for you to do. Can you say amen to that? Father, I just thank you tonight. This morning. Not tonight. It's almost tonight. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would bless your people, Lord. Father, let the words of this sermon, Lord, what you have given me to speak to them, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Hey, give somebody a...
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.